Hey there, veterans. This is Justin with a quick note before today's episode. There are a ton of resources out there for veterans, and I'm learning about more of them each and every day. That's why I've added a directory on my website to help you find the resources that are right for you. If you go to beyondtheuniform.io/directory, you can see these resources and you can add to them. Hope this helps and enjoy the show. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I interview military veterans about their civilian career. Today's episode number 75 with Ben Data.
Be willing to take a step down to go up, as opposed to thinking I'm going to burst right through this. Realize sometimes you have to go down, around, and then that's where you finally get the push through. Every single job I have taken, I've taken a pay cut and made it back within 3 to 6 months. But those are the steps you have to do.
Top three reasons to listen to today's show are, number one, pay cut. Ben has held some incredible roles at great companies, and he talks about how, at every single step he's taken forward in his career, it started with a pay cut. No matter what stage you're at in your civilian career, the perspective he has on this is worth hearing. Number two, networking. Regular listeners to the show know the importance of networking. Ben not only has some great stories about this, but his current company, Galvanize, is approaching this in a new and novel way. Number three, operations. Ben is the chief operations officer for a rapidly growing startup, and this is a great story for those interested in startups, in operations, or in sales and marketing. As always, at beyondtheuniform.io, you'll find show notes for this episode with links to everything we discuss. Ben has a ton of great podcast, website, and book recommendations. If you're interested in any of those books, Audible.com is offering Beyond the Uniform listeners a free audiobook of their choosing. You can find out more at beyondtheuniform.io/books. So with that, let's dive in to my interview with Ben Data. Well, today I'm in Galvanize's office over in Platt Park in Denver, Colorado with Ben Data. Ben, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Yeah, absolutely. Pleasure to be here.
So for listeners wanting to get a quick background on Ben, he is the Chief Operations Officer or COO at Galvanize, which is a network of modern urban campuses where anyone can access the skills, knowledge, and network you need to make an impact. Since their founding back in 2012, they've raised over $63 million in funding. Ben started out at Notre Dame, after which he served in the Marines for 7 years. And after that transition from the Marines, he went to True Style Doors in an operations marketing role and sales, and eventually as vice president of commercial sales. He then joined the computer software company Full Contact as their VP of sales and business development. Ben also runs Denver Startup Week, which is the largest startup event in the United States, and he holds an MBA from the University of Denver. So Ben, I always like to ask at the start, what was the point at which you knew you were going to leave the Marines, and how did you approach that decision?
So I got engaged actually before I even joined the Marine Corps, shortly after the basic school. And it was a very different world from when I got engaged to when I got married. September 11th happened when I was at the basic school in Quantico, and all of a sudden things were pretty different. So ended up doing two tours in Iraq. That was pretty rough on the home life and with my wife. And so we made a hard call after my initial 4 years of, do I want to stay in or not? And we actually made the decision to stay in because there's an opportunity here in Denver, Colorado, where we are, and this is where one of the places we want to end up. And so I took that opportunity, which shifted from being a working for MEPS and being much more of an admin role to, hey, guess what? Welcome to Marine Corps recruiting. Here's your quota. Go out and make it happen. So that was great. I stayed all 3 years with it because it was a really good training and transition period for me. I don't think I'd be where I was today without my tour on recruiting duty. But I essentially knew when I came out of my first 4 years that I was going to get out on that point, just because if where I was, it just wasn't something that was, and again, looking back at my friends who have stayed in, I don't know if that would have necessarily been the right choice for myself and my personal life at the time.
Yeah. What about, what was that, the very first job search like when you left the Marines, and how did you ultimately find your way to True Style?
The first job search sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was. It was, I hadn't really done much, rolling up into it. I'd actually go tag along with our OSO officer selection officer as he was going to job fairs on college campuses to go in uniform, then I'd actually go hit up all the rest of the tables and talk to them and stuff like that. But well, I went on terminal leave, you know, had 3 months of terminal leave built up, and started submitting resumes everywhere and just was getting nowhere on that. I probably submitted, I don't know, 30, 40 different resumes, was doing a lot of networking locally, going out and talking with people about their businesses and what they're looking for. And then all of a sudden, like, as my terminal leave was coming up, a bunch of stuff kind of clicked together. Had an opportunity with Lockheed Martin to go be a satellite systems engineer. Another opportunity with Covidien, which is a large healthcare company, of doing logistics. And then I got a phone call from one of the, you know, military recruiting firms, all the ones out there that I've been working with, of, hey, I've got a great opportunity for you. It's with a door company. I kind of I paused for a second, and I was like, a door company, really? You know, I'm like, I'm a decorated Marine Corps veteran. I have a degree in mechanical engineering from the University of Notre Dame. Why would I go work for a door company? But I was like, you know what? I need to practice interviewing. Let's go in and talk. And so I went in, was absolutely blown away. It was a father-son team who wanted to do a business together. Father was a former chief marketing officer for Pepsi. Son was a Boston Consulting Group, Procter Gamble, Kellogg MBA. And they had bought this business and took it from like $2 million a year in revenue to $72 million a year in revenue in about 5 years.
Wow.
And so I was like, okay, this is a great opportunity. And it was, honestly, it was a real demotion of a role. I came in as a shift manager, like going from being a, you know, a company commander with 500 Marines and sailors underneath me, and then being on recruiting duty and running that, and then coming into where I had 13 hourly employees and was working shift work 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. On it. But it was a great opportunity to learn, and I said, you know what, if I do well here, I'll have the opportunity to move up. And that's the way that worked out, is within 6 months, I was running the plant. Within another 6 months, I transitioned over to the marketing team. Within another 3 months, I transitioned into the head of commercial sales, reporting directly to the CEO. And it was an awesome opportunity, learned a ton, and it was a great transition for me from the military.
I mean, I think that's that's awesome, because I think it's a consistent trend, is so many people who have been ultra successful in their civilian career were willing to take that step back and willing to take that hit to their ego. And I imagine, like, when you made that shift and it feels like a step back, you know, then you're able to demonstrate, you get your foot in the door and you're able to demonstrate what you can do, and you work up pretty quickly, which is awesome. And I love those companies like those sleepy industry companies, or the non-sexy ones, where, I mean, former CMO of somewhere like that, and then Boston Consulting Group, they just come in and just annihilate the competition by bringing a new business approach to something that's very old and overlooked. I think that's awesome. And you had mentioned working with, I think you said recruiters. Is that how you, do you remember who you worked with? Or
I worked with a bunch. I honestly don't remember all. Lucas Group was one.
Yeah.
I forget the other two. I think I had 3 different recruiting services that I was engaged with.
Would you recommend that?
I do because I recommend it because I'm a sales guy at heart. And so build a bigger funnel, right? Yeah. Get more opportunities in.
Yep.
What comes in from those may not always be the stuff you really like. I mean, a lot of the stuff they bring is just the standard military transition, go run a Home Depot in Elko, Nevada type of stuff. But occasionally there's a nugget. So if it's anything that can increase your funnel, it's a pretty good opportunity on it.
It seems like it gives people more at-bats too, to kind of hone their pitch and kind of get used to interviewing and kind of get the wrinkles and rust. You know?
Yeah, I never turned down an interview.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, like the first couple, I didn't have my poker face on well enough. They're like, you don't want to be here, dude. And I'm like, damn, all right. So it's definitely a kind of a learning point on it, but I finally got to the point where I was like, I could do it well enough. And again, like you said, it's, you get in at bat, it's practice. Mm-hmm. What works, what doesn't, what connects. You just get comfortable with the idea of sitting down with somebody that you've never met before and telling them your story and how you'd be a great addition to their team.
And how did you find Full Contact? Like, what was the story behind the transition there?
Yeah, so it's, you know, the funny thing is, I really think it's always about the connections you make and who you know. While I was at True Style, the executive team was good enough there to allow me to pursue my executive MBA at the University of Denver, thanks to the GI Bill. Great to have that 9/11 one so I could finally access it as a former ROTC guy. And did my MBA at DU. One of my classmates was a former tech startup guy. We had talked quite a bit in class about different things going on, and then when we finished the program, he took an idea he came up with during the program, applied to the TechStars program here in Colorado, got accepted, came out of TechStars, and we were actually just, you know, grabbing beers, I mean, pretty much around 4 or 5 years ago, over at the Wing Coop here over the holiday, and he was like, well, you know, what should I look for in a head of sales and marketing? Later that night, we were texting back and forth. He's like, well, would you want to make the jump over? And so, you know, with a 5-month pregnant wife and everything else, decided to take a pay cut and go join a company with 6 months of runway.
That's awesome. Yeah, as anyone would do, right?
Yeah. Why not?
What did you, I mean, was there anything you had to do to kind of get, because that's a pretty big risk to take with a family on the way. And I'm a big believer in like being outside of your comfort zone and kind of taking the step before you feel really confident about it. But what did you do to psych yourself up to make that move?
You know, I had a little bit of an unfair advantage because my wife and I both work. So we had at least a little bit of a backstop there. Had a decent amount. You know, you do enough combat tours, you put away money pretty well.
Yeah.
Not getting taxed on it. So I had a little bit of flexibility there. And then, you know, I felt that I kind of reached a cap of what I was going to learn in my current role. And then I was trying to look for, okay, how do I continue to expand? And that was essentially it. It was like, okay, this is an opportunity. Let's take it. Let's see what happens. It's honestly one of the reasons why I think veterans can be such a great fit for startups is because they're willing to take those type of risks and they're willing to jump into the unknown.
Yeah.
And this is an opportunity to do that. And it was incredibly valuable overall.
And so what was that like heading up sales and marketing? How many employees were there when you joined?
Six. Okay. I was essentially the first non-technical employee. So I was the first salesperson, first marketing person, first customer support person.
I think it's always helpful for listeners just to paint that picture of like, what was life like? If there was like a typical day, what time would you get in? Like, what sort of things would you do? What sort of people would you work with? And what did life look like?
So Full Contact is an API company. So our primary customer is other software companies that would sign up for our service as a monthly subscription, and they would usually hook that API into their product as a feature.
Yeah.
What the Full Contact API does is take a little bit of contact information like an email address and turn it into a full contact, append publicly available social profiles and the rest. So if you use any CRM, marketing tool, other things where automatically you see somebody's profile photo and pictures, it's probably Full Contact on the back end. So essentially what I spent my time doing was a ton of outreach to various software companies. Email, phone call, just trying to get somebody that I could talk to and be like, hey, is this valuable? Is you think this something that you want to do? Because all a startup is a search for a repeatable, scalable business. And so you have to show that it's repeatable, you have to show that it's sustainable, you have to show that it's scalable.
Yep.
And that was, we were really in the repeatable stage. So, you know, we went from $5,000 a month in revenue that we were doing to then 10 to 20 to 30, hit 100K a month in our first year.
Wow.
And then, you know, by the time I left, we were doing, you know, low seven figures in annual revenue.
Wow. How much did, I'm just wondering, how much did your experience in recruiting carry over to that in terms of like sales?
Massive.
Yeah.
That I tell everyone, like, that is the reason why recruiting was so beneficial to me, was that was what taught me how to run a systematic sales process.
Yeah.
The military in general, and specifically the Marine Corps, has the best sales training out there.
Well,
the job that they do of bringing in folks who have potentially never sold before in their life, and that's your sale, and build them up, that you're turning over your sales force every, you know, 36 months, is pretty incredible. So it's a great learning experience. It's a lot of other stuff going through. I mean, recruiting is a tough, tough life to be in, especially when I was there from like 05 to 08 when things were, you know, not great overseas. Yeah. So it was a tough world to sell into, but incredible learning. And that still is why I think I've been successful in the sales roles that I've been in. And even on the marketing side too. And that goes in a bit. You know, one of my last roles in the military was as an information operations officer overseas. So I was working with our public affairs people, I was working with our PSYOPs people, I was working with civil affairs. And so that whole idea of what you do in marketing and sales, I mean, my entire training from that was through the military.
That's exceptional. That's really cool. So then how did you make the switch to Galvanize?
A lot of, again, who you know. You know, with my time at Full Contact and then with what I did with Denver Startup Week, Denver is a much larger tech community now, but was, you know, a little bit smaller back then. So you got a chance to know a lot of folks. Galvanize opened at the first Denver Startup Week. And we tied that together. We did a ton of events there. So I got to know the founders and the team there. And I reached a point where I was kind of looking for what was the next opportunity to do. And they're like, well, let's talk. I actually was thinking more about different companies that they had seen that were members coming through. And I hadn't really seen the full picture of what Galvanize was. But got a chance to really talk with the founders, what was going on there. And I was like, yeah, let's do this.
How big were they at the time compared to now?
When I came on board, I think I was like employee 35, wow. And we're around 360 right now.
I'm wondering for listeners who might not be familiar with Galvanize, how would you explain what you guys do and who you are?
Yeah, so Galvanize is a learning community for technology. We bring together students in web development, data science, startups, and then establish companies and create an environment of accelerated growth. So if you imagine, right, if you wanted to go back to learn a skill, you probably want to do it surrounded by the companies that are actually employing that skill. So you can, you know, actually learn what you need to. And same thing, if you're a company growing, you want to be as close to the talent as possible. So the idea is Galvanize helps provide that talent and helps to help to create an environment of innovation and growth. So if you step into one of our campuses, you'll have a classroom of students going through a 3-month immersive in data science right next to a company like Oppenheimer Funds, right next to a company that's doing a Bitcoin or some sort of piece on data science where they're growing the business. And that creates this environment through the density and through the serendipity of really neat stuff as it comes through, and people are able to find jobs, companies are able to find talent, and able to grow.
That's great. I mean, what I love about your story is you know, multiple times in your history, it sounds like networking or who you knew led to your next opportunity, and now you're working in an organization where it seems like the predominant mission is the power of creating community and how that can just change everything. And I'm a big believer in that too, that just being in an environment surrounded by people who are shooting in the same direction as you are, who are learning the same things or can trade strengths and weaknesses, it's such a powerful way to establish ties, and those things often lead to new customers, new knowledge, new jobs, new roles, new company ideas. So I think that's a cool, consistent trend in your story.
It really has been. I mean, it absolutely has been who I've known, and a lot of times it's relationships that you build through areas that you wouldn't even expect to necessarily as it goes through. And I think it's another part that for folks from the military is it actually makes a lot of sense when they start to think about it, because you have the same thing in the military, right? The folks that you went to basic with, the folks that you went to your follow-on school on, the folks here, you build those relationships, and while you may be in different units at some time, sooner or later your paths cross again, and you already have those relationships built, and you're able to go off and do really incredible things really quickly. And it's a similar type of thing, I think, in the startup world, and you build these relationships, and sooner or later your paths cross again, and you're able to go off and do great things.
And for a listener, a veteran listener who might not be familiar with the chief operations officer role, how would you explain what you do? And in particular, just painting that picture of like, what does your day look like, the sorts of activities you do?
Yeah, I think Galvanize is a very different type of role for a COO than maybe a lot of tech companies, because in a traditional tech or software company, there's not necessarily that much when you think operations. You know, it's mainly behind the scenes of what you're doing, whether it's engineering or sales or marketing. But we're actually a really operations heavy role, because we have physical locations that have anywhere from 100 members and 30 students up to 700 members and 120 students. So you're talking like populations of 1,000 people that you're running all the stuff that's going on there. On a week in our 7 campuses right now, we'll run over 300 events that have over 2,500 attendees.
Wow.
We'll have all the daily traffic coming through. We run our own food and beverage. So it's a pretty heavy operations lift on it. So I have, of the 360 employees, probably 280, 290 of those fall under me. We're established in a structure that probably seemed very familiar to a lot of military folks, where each one of our campuses is a fully owned organization and unit, and I have a general manager who oversees that.
Okay.
And then underneath them are the multifunctional roles, whether it's a membership manager who sells membership, it's an instructor, it's a career services person who helps to place the students, and we built that out. So, it's, again, you're talking about doing distributed operations in a highly dynamic and ever-changing environment. Again, pretty similar to what most military folks are used to.
Well, so one thing I'm wondering about with that is, like, what are the leadership similarity and differences? I'm wondering, like, or maybe more importantly, the differences of leading a team of that size now versus when you were in the military.
I think honestly, for what I'm doing now, there's a ton of similarities.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is, right? If you think about, you know, whether or not you're on ship or if you're in a Marine Corps company or battalion or if you're in a wing on the squadron side, you have these multifunctional roles and you're helping drive it. And this can be someone who's all the way from a pilot to the person who's a mechanic on the side.
Yeah.
It's actually really similar here. We have the same type of stuff. I'm actually trying to take a lot of the learnings from the military and apply them here to Galvanize in how do we create an onboarding that creates that same esprit de corps and sense of mission and that shared experience that everybody can go through so that when you are now out there, you have that common thread going through. I'd say probably the biggest difference is it's definitely a slightly different style of leadership, right? Because you don't have rank and hierarchy. Even though, you know, we do, it's not at the same level that you have in the military with it. And so that level of just do it because I told you to do it, which in my mind is always a cop-out anyways. But you definitely don't have that at all in this type of thing. So it's about building trust, building the shared sense of context, building the shared sense of value so that you can be collaborative in how you solve things. But the other part that is, I think, very similar and it's trying to push down is how can you drive decision-making down to the lowest level? Because, you know, ultimately, my impact, I don't see that many members. I mean, I see members and students, but I don't interact with them in any way the same amount that my junior employees do. So what can I do to empower those junior employees, give them the tools that they need, and help them be able to make decisions? And that's the same type of thing that the military is going through right now as they try to go through distributed operations. So there's a lot of parallels. I think even more so than I'd see in any traditional tech startup.
Yeah. I always like to ask about failure, first because most of the people I've interviewed have talked about how failure in the military is, the stakes are so high, failure is something that's just not tolerated. And then in the civilian world, especially in tech, like failure is so critical to success, being able to fail and learn and continue to adapt. And so I'm wondering if you could share, since you got out of the Marines, one thing that you thought was a failure or just a major mistake that you learned from and kind of what you took away from that.
You know, I think it's an interesting thing, just going to your comment on the military side. I think there's a big difference between garrison and combat. Because in combat, failure happens all the time. Right? I mean, and again, the stakes are high, but it's actually accepted sometimes. I mean, there were times that, I mean, our potential future Secretary of Defense, I had to stand in front of him because of things that happened. And he made a call based on that of, okay, you know what? Mistakes were made, but here's what we're going to do going forward on that piece. So I think when they actually get there, and that's the part where there's more of the similarity. Because, on the garrison side, I mean, that was horrible, right? I mean, like any small thing. I remember being threatened to have to go up to the Marine Corps Mountain Warfare Training Center to go do an investigation for a missing cold weather glove. They were going to take an officer and ship him up there for 4 days to investigate a $14 glove. And that's the type of stuff that absolutely isn't there. And I do think on the startup side, it is. But the thing is, that's the only way you learn, right? There's some incredible parallels between what we talk about in the military with something like an OODA loop, observe, orient, decide, act, and that idea that you learn and that changes your action, and that's how you continue to drive forward. That's the exact same thing that's behind the idea of the lean startup and build, measure, learn, and how do you drive that forward. So the parallels I would make there is like the garrison is more like what you see in big companies, where again, like failure and doing stuff is not okay. But then where stuff really happens is, which is in combat and in startups and entrepreneurial, where you're actually building and it's dynamic, you have to fail. That's the only way you learn going forward. Because honestly, if all you're doing is succeeding every single time, you're probably not trying hard enough.
No, I agree. So what would be, what do you think would be like an example?
Examples of failure. I mean, there's all kinds of them. When I first came in at TrueStyle, we were trying to go through a lean transformation of lean manufacturing. and trying to instill change transformation through a workforce where English was their second language, and going through, I mean, I had some utter disasters there. Guys that literally would walk off a job because I'm trying to get it through. And so it's this idea of, okay, how can we try to actually communicate the value to this and show them that, no, I know this might not be the most, might not make sense at first, but it's gonna be a great win. And we eventually got there. We were going through at Full Contact. We first started out, I mean, we changed our pricing when I was there probably five times within a year and a half period. Because again, we try something, it didn't work. Okay, now let's turn and do this. And that was the way you learn. I think the key thing is just identifying that quickly enough and be able to make the change that you can still continue to grow as you go through. And even here at Galvanized, we've had ones, right? I mean, if you look at our first campus here at the Golden Triangle, which is still by far for me the most, the campus I love the most, because it's the one that I first got to interact with and the rest. But we're gradually turning that more and more into our corporate headquarters, because the layout, the size, everything else isn't great for where we want the business to go. And that's a learning point. We learned that, all right, this isn't exactly the type of layout that we want to have. And so we've learned from that and adapted.
That's great. What about, you know, between Startup Week in Denver and your experience at Galvanize, you've got so much exposure, and your own experience in startups, so much exposure to startups. And I know so many veterans I speak with are interested in either starting their own company or joining a startup. So I'm wondering what advice you would have for veterans who are thinking of starting a company or thinking of joining a startup.
Yeah, I think it definitely two very different things, right?
Yeah.
If you're looking at starting your own company, I think what you really need to nail down is what's the type of company do you want to build?
Yeah.
Do you want to be a high growth company? Mm-hmm. Are you building a lifestyle company where this is just, you know, you want to build a good solid business that provides for you and maybe a small team as you go and you're just kind of steady? Because those are two very different types of businesses, a lot of different demands, different skill sets and everything else. But then if you're looking to join a company, I think you actually nailed it on the head earlier, which was be willing to take a step down to go up.
Yeah.
Right? As opposed to thinking I'm going to burst right through this, realize sometimes you have to go down, around, and then that's where you finally get the push through. Every single job I have taken, I've taken a pay cut.
Yeah.
And made it back within 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
But those are the steps you have to do. And I think take a look at that, because most startups, especially early stage, you're going to get one of three jobs. You either have to be a developer, you have to be a salesperson, or you have to be a customer support person. And even if that's not what you want to do in the, well, obviously a developer is a different thing, right? You have that skill set, you're probably going to do that for a while. But on the sales and customer support side, even if that's not what you want to do in the long run, that may be the role that you have to take for a while to prove yourself, because that's the way you get your foot in the door.
Yeah, I think that's such a great mentality to adopt as well, as like every step forward, be willing to take and plan for that financially, so that when you do take that pay cut, you don't have this lifestyle that you cannot support to do that.
Yeah, no, that's an absolutely important thing. I mean, you see that a lot, where people all of a sudden are out of lifestyle, and because of that, that really limits their options and makes it a lot harder to kind of make those jumps.
Are there any resources you would recommend for listeners that have helped you in your civilian career? It could be books or podcasts or websites or programs, just something that someone listening could take hold of today if they wanted to try to move their career forward or prepare for that transition.
So first thing I would throw out is, if you don't know the platform called Meetup, definitely go check it out. It's a great free resource where they have, I mean, essentially anything that you're interested in, you can find a group that's meeting around that.
Yeah.
And start going to those.
Yep.
Make the connections, meet people, because that's going to be likely how you find something, right? It might not be the person there, but they might make the intro for you and how you go through all that. The approach that I've heard from a lot of people, and I use it as well, that works well, is you meet somebody, go grab coffee with them, have a reason, right? Like, be upfront, like, hey, I want to talk to you about this so I can learn. And at the end of the conversation, be like, okay, who are three other people I should talk to?
Yeah.
And start getting that viral factor going, so you start expanding much more quickly. On the book side, if you want to get into a tech startup, I'd say if you haven't read The Lean Startup yet, which I really would hope you have, get into that. Pretty much any book by Brad Feld, starting with Do More Faster, Venture VC, Startup Communities. Brad was a investor at Full Contact, one of the board members, incredible guy, great one to that you can learn a ton from on that. And then just personal favorite. I mean, again, if you're getting the tech startup space, the hard thing about hard things.
Oh man, such a great book.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's motivating, right? It's, it's the type of thing you read through, and you just hear the shit that happened, and that, and the stories around it. I mean, you're not going to walk away with it with any necessarily hard skills or knowledge, but it's just the idea of the mentality that you kind of have to have around it. I found it really valuable overall.
It seemed very vulnerable, authentic, and just very honest about that, the ups and downs and roller coaster of startup life, but super energizing.
Yeah, well, and there's another one, if you're really heavy into sales, marketing, analytics, there's, I'm probably going to butcher his last name, but Tom Tungus.
Tom Tungus,
Redpoint puts out by far the best blog posts around the analytics of how to truly grow a business. Absolutely love his stuff. Every single one of them is gold. The other one I throw out is Saastr, S-A-A-S-T-R. The stuff that Jason Lemkin does there is great. Go back, read all the old posts. If you're in software, really any sales, go read his stuff. It's some of the best out there. And he links to a lot of great stuff from it as well.
Their conference is really good too.
That's what I've heard. I haven't had a chance. I started reading it before they did it. It's been really pretty cool to watch their growth, because if you go back and look at their stuff from 3 years ago, it's like kindergarten style. I mean, the content was great once you got to it, but I was like, wow, this is a really bad website. And now they're throwing these great events on that, so it's good stuff.
Last question is just open-ended. So knowing that you've got people on active duty and people who are on the other side as veterans listening, what have we not covered that you want them to know? It could be personal or professional, but what would be some final words of wisdom for them?
We covered already the piece about being willing to take a step down to really kind of go around, which I still think can't be reiterated enough, because I see so many folks who are like, no, I've got to be, every move has to be a promotion. I think that's a really limiting mindset overall. The other piece would be become comfortable with financial risk. You know, because that's something that those coming from the military, I think, struggle with, because while you may be willing to throw yourself into a situation where you're going to lose your life, you always knew you were going to get paid. And you always knew your family was going to get paid. You always knew there was going to be food on the table. You always knew there was going to be a roof over your head. You know, even if you were that E3 who went out and bought the Corvette and everything else, and essentially, like, you had a pretty good safety net. I think that's what keeps a lot of military folks from necessarily making leaps that they could, because they're so used to having that safety net. Set yourself up, you know, whether it is saving for a little while, just give yourself and make the leap. Because your skill set, your ability to handle these situations, your ability to improvise, adapt, overcome, is such a massive value to anybody in the startup world. And I've been saying this for a long time, that veterans, especially folks who have had combat experience, are such an incredible fit for tech, any startup, really, just because they understand how to be in that situation where you have to make decisions, you have to make them quickly, you have to understand the consequences of those decisions, and you just continue to go all the way through. So that's probably a big one. And then the last one would be always network. Always network. Tap into your military network. I guarantee you there are a bunch of old vets that are doing very well in great positions that you don't even know of. Figure out ways to connect with them. It's probably not the VFW, but is it things like the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation, other type of veteran-focused foundations? Go out, get involved with those, meet these people, because guess what? They're probably CEOs, CFOs, CMO, whatever, at all these different types of companies, and talk to them. May not be the opportunity you end up with, but again, it's your way to network and get a slightly different level of who you're connecting with overall.
On that first piece, I just love that you know, you're an example where you put yourself in a position where you could take the risk because you built up your financial position, you know, while on active duty, so you had a bit of a buffer to take that pay cut, and then you weren't tied to that ego of getting the promotion or the big salary right away, like being willing to take a step back in a direction you wanted to go that would ultimately propel you further.
Yeah, look at the opportunity and the team. That's what I always look like. Is it the opportunity something that I'm excited by, that I love, that I want to do? And is the team something I want to be part of? If you can answer yes to both of those and see an opportunity for growth, be willing to take the risk.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you for your time on this, and thank you for the example for the veteran community of just showing someone who's achieving on the civilian side and doing really great stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to. And again, for any of the vets out there, feel free to reach out to me at any time. It's just ben.data@galvanize.com. That's DEDA. Happy to help out. We've got a lot of programs for veterans here at Galvanize, and also happy to connect people with a lot of other groups out there, whether it's Patriot Boot Camp, Vets in Tech, Bunker Labs. There's a lot of good resources. If you're a vet and you want to get in tech startups, we can help you out.
Surface, surface, surface.
Thanks for listening. Three important notes before you go. First, Audible.com is offering a free audiobook for Beyond the Uniform listeners. I love Audible. I get 3 books a month, and it's a great way to use net, or no extra time, to polish off books while you run, drive, etc. If you go to beyondtheuniform.io/books, you'll not only find this offer, but you'll also find a list of every single book that has been recommended on this show. One in particular I'd recommend is The Hard Thing About Hard Things. This is a great story of determination and also a glimpse at what startups are really like. That's at beyondtheuniform.io/books. Second, there are so many great resources out there for veterans, it can be difficult to know all about them. That's why at beyondtheuniform.io/directory, you'll find a list of every single resource that's been mentioned on the show or that I've been able to find. You can also add your own if you find one I've missed. Lastly, I've put together several different free ebooks that provide data for veterans about their civilian career possibilities. This quantitative information serves as a great complement to the qualitative interviews I do each week. Go to beyondtheuniform.io, click on resources, and you'll be all set. Have a great week, and I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career.